to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy.
Hey, welcome back. Will Jones here, Talking PPG Radio. Today I have for you the second half of the interview with Paul Zarnicki, planetppg.com. If you remember, in a couple episodes I actually had him on, and basically I wanted to talk to him about his fly-in that they just had about a week ago. So, and then I also wanted to talk to him about what was going on with planetppg.com, and the other cool thing is we actually got into the Eric DeFore competition clinic that he actually attended, and that is a really good conversation, especially if you guys are thinking about competition and some of the things that they ended up doing. And this is a really good conversation about competition in the U.S. and he has a lot of information that he actually shares with us today, or shares with me. So I'd like to thank him again at this time for coming on and giving me his time. And it amazes me how you'll hear in the conversation when I talk about most of us over in the U.S. basically boats around and you know, maybe do some foot drags and some, you know, cross countries. And I love cross country myself. The cool thing about actually doing competition, maybe hopefully we'll get some more of these fly-ins that actually have some competitions. Doing these competitions, you actually end up honing your skills and stuff. So, but anyway, we talked about that and about planetppg.com. If you have more information, you can get in touch with Paul at, like I said, planetppg.com, and thank him again for coming on. The other thing I want to remind you is get your sign-ups for the Beach Blast that's coming up May 7th through the 10th. They are, I got on the website when I did my sign-in, they are holding the room rates that we're getting up to the 15th of this month, so you need to get your room reservation in as soon as you can. And that is, yeah, like I said, May 7th through the 10th. So you can go to his website. I'll have a link to the website again in the show notes and register. Don't forget the SIV clinic. You can sign up also for that and pay online. And I think he's asking for it if you pay, make sure you put in your shirt size for because you get a shirt for signing up. I know for signing up early, I do believe, if I read that right last night. I have to go back and look. But and when you click on the PayPal and pay your fee, go ahead and in the comments and put down your shirt size to help out John. This thing is actually look like it is gonna be big. Talk to Andy McGavin. He's gonna be there. He said he agreed with me last night too when I was talking to him about it. It could be almost a convention type thing, and he like I've been praising John for the work he's actually put into this and the promotion, and this is gonna be nice. Can't wait, man. Cannot wait. Our weather is turning cold again here in Louisville. Had a few teaser days. Of course, you know how it is when you have teaser days. You got 100 things going on. Or if you get like me, I get off work late, and it's like, well, I'll just wait till next time. So, the other thing, talk to Kurt Pfister. Don't forget about the Flight Junkies reunion. Make sure you sign up for it. He said the sooner you sign up, the better. And the same thing about the rooms. They actually had blocked off several rooms, and you will just go to flightjunkies.com to get the information on hotels and stuff like that. He's going to be posting that soon, so make sure you get your reservation in if you plan to stay in at the, you know, at a hotel, nearby hotel, because they fill up fast, he was telling me. And do not forget the Brit and Shaw fly in. So Memorial Day weekend, that's coming up. Go ahead and get your reservations in. Don't forget, if you need to sign up to get into the PPG 1 and 2 classes, you need to do that. Make sure you download the information, the paperwork that you need to take with you. And can't wait for that. Andy's going to be at that one too, so that's pretty cool. So, but other than that, guys, sit back and relax. This is a really, like I said, this is a nice conversation I had with Paul, and very easy interview. Just kind of see, I find myself sitting back in some of these interviews and just listening and taking it all in. So, thank you very much for your time, and talk to you soon.
All right, welcome back. This is Will Jones, talking PPG Radio. Had Paul Zarnicke on earlier, a couple episodes ago, and actually was trying to talk to him about his fly-in, and I wanted to get some more information about Planet PPG, some information about himself, what he's selling, doing, and so I gave him a call back so we can actually sit and talk a little bit more about Planet PPG and what's going on at Planet PPG. Paul, you there?
Hey, Will. How you doing?
All right, man. Welcome back again. Thank you for giving me some more time. Last time I talked to you, I really was just trying to get your information about your fly-in and didn't really get to get into about Planet PPG and about yourself, how long you've been flying PPG. And so here I am, calling you back. So,
thanks for having me.
Oh man, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, we're having a blast out here in Southwest Florida. We have beautiful weather conditions. We have use of the beautiful Pine Island Airport facility. It's open 365 days a year for anyone to come out and fly. You can camp on site. There's a lot of bed and breakfasts around that you can come and stay at. We have 4 fly-ins per year. And we're really having a good time. We are doing training on both foot launched and trikes. I've been doing this now for a little over 2.5 years as a full-time job.
Wow.
Up until the recent economic downturn, I've been quite busy. We still have students going, and people are really enjoying it and having a really good time. We sell a gamut of machines, the Fresh Breeze, the Flat Top, and the iFlyer, mostly. Those are the main machines that we fly. As far as the paragliders themselves, we have the wings from U-Turn, which would be the Obsession and some of those.
Mm.
We have the Sky Gliders, the Dudek, the APCO Aviation, as well as the Para, and then the standard Adele Power Atlas, which seems to be quite popular for a number of individuals, in addition to the high-end gliders that I mentioned previously.
Very cool, man. Yeah, I was checking out your website. It actually used to be a different name. You Can Fly, or what was the name of it again?
Yes, it used to be You Can Fly 2.
Okay, and you ended up changing it.
We had to change the name because of a website URL conflict. I was not able to maintain the lease on that name, but it's not a problem. We're still the same people. We're still at the same place, and Planet PPG continues. We have the website updated quite frequently. So if you go to our pictures page, for example, you'll see pictures for every month, and you'll see pictures of the students and what they're doing and how they're progressing, as well as the video page as well. We make videos as often as we can, and a number of the videos that you look at will say You Can Fly Too. .com on them, but I'm slowly but surely remixing them to put the Planet PPG logo on them.
That's excellent. How long you been power paragliding, there, Paul? How long have you?
Well, I switched over to powered paragliding in 2006. I was free flying when I was living in England before that, and I'm ex Air Force, been flying fixed wing, and really enjoy power paragliding, the ultimate freedom and the openness, and just the low and slow is really where I get a lot of enjoyment.
Wow, yeah, it is sweet, isn't it? I love it too. And you sell the water rescue system, Agami? Am I saying that right? I'm sorry.
The Agama, yes.
Agama.
I'm the importer for the Agama. I import the Agama right now exclusively. That's going to change soon because Nirvana is starting to sell their motors here in the country, mm-hmm. and we're going to break that up. But right now, I highly recommend the water Agama water rescue system to everyone. If you come out here and fly, you'll see that there are a number of destinations, or just beautiful destinations, where you're going to be flying over water. And when I say over water, there are a number of islands, and the water is very, very shallow, except for the channels. But the water rescue system is a very, very good insurance. We have some excellent, excellent 23-mile, almost near-deserted white sand beach of Cayo Costa, Captiva, North Captiva, San Carlos Pass, just beautiful, beautiful locations. Mm. And if anybody wants to look at the FAA sectional or the planetppg.com website, you'll be able to see that. And I have the sectional and a map on the website. If you look at the sectional, look at the South Miami sectional, and then look on the Southwest Florida side. We are about 17 miles northwest of regional Southwest Florida International Airport.
Beautiful weather. Man, it is like...
It is. We're blessed. In fact, it's amazing. We're really spoiled here because, you know, we typically have very nice breezes coming in off of the Gulf, west breeze, so it's very laminar air. And with very, very nice destinations to fly to. A lot of times, for example, our last fly-in, we had a bunch of the Canadians, Frank and his guys, came down. And they were saying, oh, the fly-in here is just beautiful. They love it. And in fact, it's funny because the fly-in that we're having at the end of March, we're calling it the Global Warming My Ass fly-in.
Because yeah, that's great.
Even in Florida, it's been a little bit colder than normal this year.
Oh,
that fly-in, yeah, I know it's going to be late. In fact, this might not even air until after it, but that'll be the 27th through the 29th of March for that fly-in.
Okay. Well, you have another one coming up in July weekend there.
Correct,
so,
4th of July weekend. Yeah. So that'll be the 3rd through the 5th of July will be the one after that. And then we'll have the Halloween fly-in. And then again, it'll be the fourth annual end-of-year fly-in, which will be the week after Christmas. So it'll be a full one-week fly-in, and it'll be the after Christmas till January 1st.
Now you told me that you had like 60-something pilots show up to that that last one, didn't you, at the end of the year?
Yep.
Wow, that's a lot of guys. It's like a convention.
Yeah, and what's
there.
Good about there, too, is that we typically have two crews. Some folks will come in early, and some folks will stay late. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some guys can't stay the whole time. So since the Pine Island Airport is open, like I said, 365 days a year, you know, Wayne enjoys everybody coming out. All you have to do is join the airport. To do that, it costs $30, and then you have 1 month of privileges.
Mm. Now, you were saying that you actually have been training, instructing for the past 2 years full time. You are a USPA certified instructor. Am I reading that right? Yes, well.
Yes, and I do have my tandem exemption as well. So I like to take the students up for a tandem flight. We typically do a discovery flight first, in 2 hour class, and then go up for a tandem flight. If they like it, then that money that they spent on that discovery flight is credited toward their further purchases. And then I'll take them up again a second time so that they can fly me around some and get the feel of how it is to actually fly before they go up on their solo flight.
That's cool, because I actually had I was talking to Britton Shaw the very first, he's got a Memorial Day fly-in, and that was a big, big subject as far as ratings and why should I and all that, man. It was like it blew up on the big list. I don't know if you got a chance to read any of that. But
I did. In fact, I did read that, and I find it quite interesting. I definitely, just like it says on the front page of on the training page, we do not run a three-day wonder course here. In fact, if people come and they say, I want to learn in a weekend, you know, unless you have some exceptional prior skills or some God-given natural talent, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We go through the USPA syllabus line by line. Everybody has to fill it out. We go through everything. And even though the minimum flight requirement, for example, is 10 flights, it usually takes 20 or 30 flights before you can get the spot landings down to get your PPG-2 rating. I feel quite comfortable with the USPA rating system. You know, it depends on how you interpret it. I have also read discussions about saying that the ratings really don't mean much. Well, it doesn't mean much if the instructor passes out the ratings like a Pez dispenser.
Right.
If the instructor goes through with integrity and only gives those ratings to individuals that can demonstrate not only the skills necessary,
right,
but pass the written tests, then it means something. And I think that's really where the industry is moving. As long as we can keep a self-regulating type of environment where we don't have individuals violating the FAA rules, then hopefully the government won't try to shut down the privileges that we now enjoy.
It's funny because if it ever gets to that point, I actually could see that they actually require something like this, you know, the USPA rating, just like a private pilot's type deal. So being unregulated right now is wonderful, but I can see, like you said, people doing something crazy, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, we've got to be certified and actually go through, you know, mandatory go through a course like this. So, I told Britton, I said, with me being new in PPG over a year flying, you know, 60 flights, I have no problem. It seemed like it was always the guys that actually, you know, 2 or 3 years or three. I think it was more like 3 years, and it was like, whoa, no, I ain't going, and I'm not doing that, and I don't, you know, it's like, whoa, guys, calm down a little bit. It's no big deal. Just calm down, you know.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, too, you'll get individuals that are rated, and they have achieved their rating by demonstrating the tasks. But if they don't fly enough, let's say they only fly once a year,
right,
it's difficult to make the spot landing. It's difficult to make that forward launch in a no-wind condition.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you know, everybody needs to get out there and practice. The getting the certification is only half of it. The other half is getting out there and keeping your skills up, and that means if you're not going to fly but once a year, then at least get your wing out and kite in the field and make sure that you keep your skills sharp, just like driving a car. If you don't do it for a long time, you know, you might forget some of the fine points. And
yeah, it's, or if you're like me, you live in Louisville, Kentucky, and it's been cold as heck, and the wind's gust, it's crazy. Yeah, it's not all of us can live down there on the beach and enjoy that laminar wind like you, huh?
Well, we are truly blessed. We get to fly almost every day here. We really do.
Oh, thanks.
We are blessed beyond belief. We had a great time with Eric DeFore
weekends
ago.
I meant to ask you about that. Yeah.
At the clinic.
Yeah.
And and that was a competition clinic. The competition clinic had quite a few individuals there. It was Eric DeFore and Michelle Carnet that put the clinic on.
Yeah.
Michelle Carnet and Eric DeFore, as people don't know, they are both you know, champions. Michelle Carnet, I know, is the British champion right now, and Eric DeFore, I think he's 5-time world champion.
Carnet,
but there were
became
folks like Andy McGavin and BJ Grau and Mark out of Canada and Michael O'Donnell and Jeff Goyne and Paul Bobo and Remy Schwab and Robert and Rod and Stanley and Marty and Captain Don. And in fact, tonight I'll be putting on one of Captain Don's videos of that event.
Cool.
We just got done editing that and putting that on. So, but it was a wonderful thing. And what the whole idea there with the Paratour Competition Clinic was that Michelle Carnet and Eric DeFore would start to teach individuals on how to do the tasks and what the tasks were and what the goal of the whole thing with the World Air Games, so that the United States could actually put together a team. Right now we have Stanley Casilla, Jeff Goyne, and some of the other individuals that are representing the United States and doing this, but there's a whole lot more talent out there that we could field a team and then actually have some competitions so that the best of the best would actually go. You know, the Del Shanzi, for example, is an excellent flyer. He's not representing us right now, but maybe we'll get him out there. There's a rumor that maybe that he'll even be out here at this fly-in at the end of the month, end of March.
And you, I wonder why the U.S. or as far as the U.S., why the guys don't really get into the competition stuff. I know you're, man, that's a big thing, you know, competition. That's all we want to do is see boat around and foot drag and rather than do competition. You have any thoughts on that?
I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think that because all of Europe is equal to, you know, just basically our East Coast, we have so much space and so much room here that we do have a large airspace where we're able to go boat around, as you say,
yeah.
Go cruise and do our cross countries, where in Europe they are much more restricted and defined their areas that they can fly in. And as such, because there are a lot closer together, natural competition arises. Here in the United States, you might have three or four buddies that you go fly with, and if you catch up with another set of guys, you know, you might start doing some competition flying with them. But other than that, you're going to take it easy and just do your sightseeing like we normally do. I think that is going to change as we see more and more individuals getting into powered paragliding. I personally think that as the economy woes continue, they'll find more people turning to powered paragliding instead of a psychiatrist. I think that you'll get a lot more benefit out of it.
Yeah,
that's something
no doubt.
To look at in the garage.
There you go. That's great. Oh, my gosh. So how did that, I mean, okay, you guys had classes. What did y'all actually do? I mean,
we did. We got up super early in the morning. We had a choice. So basically everybody got up about 6 in the morning. We had a choice. You could either put your paramotor on the parabarge and have it driven the couple of miles over to a boat dock where they put it in to the St. John's River, so to go over to the mound, or you could fly out of the campground there at Eric DeForest and Mike's place and fly the 4 or 5 miles due east over to it. And that's typically what, you know, most of the guys did. Some guys took, a lot of guys took the boat too, and depending on the winds. And then we would fly until about 10 in the morning out at the marshes out there at St. John's River doing the competition courses, and then we would come back, and then we would have a debriefing, a sit-down debriefing in front of the chalkboard, and then at 2 o'clock we would have another class, if you will, and then about 4 o'clock or so we would head back out to the field to fly again until dark, and then when it got dark we'd come back and have yet another briefing.
Wow.
So it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow.
So it was a lot of flying, a lot of classroom activities, a lot of practical demonstrations. And I, for one, really learned a lot and enjoyed very, very much getting with the other instructors, especially these world-class individuals that I just mentioned, because, you know, we need to keep our learning. We need to keep on learning new things, and by entertaining these other individuals' ideas and thoughts, that's the way we can do it.
Yeah. Well, Michel Cordell, he was like third in the world, wasn't he, in China?
Very high. I don't know exactly.
I think he was third.
Sure. I know he won the endurance contest at the last one. He was giving us some thermaling tricks and things like that, and, you know, what some tricks that he did to win that particular event.
Oh, trade secrets.
Yeah, trade secrets, that's right. There's some benefits to going to the competition clinic that was hosted by Michel Carnet and Eric Dufour.
What was your favorite? It's funny, I see the Cloverleaf, and I'm like, that would be cool to try. Did you guys get, I know you got a chance to do that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, everyone that wanted to do it had the opportunity to do it.
Okay.
That was the first time that I had ever had the opportunity to try the Cloverleaf, and I was amazed. I thought it would be no big deal, and, you know, flying low and slow is no big deal, but judging your turn radius into the wind and downwind makes it more difficult, so that you can, with just a couple of degrees difference in your turn, when you start or stop your turn, you can really shave off or add a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, this is not only a precise course where you kick the center stick, you go left around the first pole, you kick the center stick, go right around the next pole, kick the center stick, go right around the other pole, kick the center stick, and then go left around the other pole. You get turned around very, very quickly and easily, and you're trying to do it very quickly. So, and nobody can help you by telling you on the radio during the competition, okay, go left, go right.
Yeah.
You can't do that. So it is very easy to get turned around and mixed up, and I found it quite challenging. And to be honest with you, I was very, very happy just to be able to complete the course without any fouls. I know that Leslie Britt, she was there. That's Mike's daughter.
Yes.
And she actually had a time of 1 minute and 20 seconds, and she did very, very well. And that was her first time trying the course as well. So the America's team, when it's formed, it can have five males and one female.
Oh, wow.
Of course, you could have more than one female, but you can have one female and at least.
Wow, okay. Because I know...
So I think...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
All the ladies out there will have to break out their skills and give Leslie a run for her money.
Run for her money, yeah.
On getting a spot on the team. In fact, everybody, because once we get enough people involved and interested, then it'll be an open competition, and those that, through these various events we have with the most points, will be favored to go.
I recall there's actually even a website. I can't remember where I saw it at. It might go to Jeff's website, because in like the World Games rankings or whatever, he has a list,
yes,
of the World Games rankings.
And I've seen that, I think, on footflyer.com.
Yes. Okay, that's where it was. That's what it was.
And I'll tell you what, you talk about somebody who can fly. You should see Stanley Casilla. He can fly.
Really?
He was out there, Stanley Casilla. He was out there flying, doing the cloverleaf. Just really, really stunning. There's another fellow out there. Carlos was out there.
Yeah.
Carlos Curti from Florida. First time he had done a cloverleaf, and he did an awesome job as well.
Wow.
Quite a few people out there that hadn't done it before that had very, very good times, and I'm sure they'll be practicing. And folks like Carlos Curti, for example, and Leslie, folks that just get out there and practice some. They've got the natural ability and skills. It's obvious because the first time they do it, and they can do it so well. And with just some coaching, the correct coaching from Eric DeFore and Michelle Carnett, it's amazing in how they lower their times. Every time they went the course, they'd lower their time and shave off more and more seconds and get more and more competitive. So it's really exciting to see the whole crowd in itself come together, have a lot of fun, but yet be very competitive. There were a few folks that didn't make it to the competition clinic because of various reasons. Chad Bastain and John Magic, they had signed up, for example. They didn't get to make it, and we really missed them, but I'm sure that they're practicing.
Yeah, because I knew Chad was actually, he had gone to the one that was in Illinois there that they had held done, I think, there at the end of the year last year. So, what about, did y'all, I know in the World Championship there was actually like a cross-country type thing, or did you guys just do the up-and-close type drills? I didn't know if y'all had
that. No, in fact, that's a very good question. There was cross-country tasks that were done, and basically what on that is you're given a certain time limit, in this case 1.5 hours. And with that 1.5 hours, you're supposed to land exactly, as close to 1.5 hours as you can without going over. And what they do is they give you spots on the map.
Yeah.
And while flying, you have to decide how you can go over as many of those spots as possible. You decide on your own course within the time limits allowed. And it's quite interesting because, you may want to go upwind at first, if you think the wind is going to increase, and then go downwind to pick up as many of the other spots, and then save a couple of the close-in ones to try to use some more of your time up.
Yeah.
There's a whole strategy that evolves in you trying to decide on what points to do it, because it's not a set course normally during the games, although it could be. It really depends on how they've set it up. But typically it's a number of points on the ground spread out, and then you have to cover as many of those points as possible within the hour and a half. And everybody is given a sealed GPS so that they cannot use a GPS during the event, but a GPS does record their movements so that the officials can be very accurate in determining whether or not that they did indeed reach those landmarks or those geographic points.
Hey, what GPS did they use? Could you tell? Or did y'all use, or is it
Well, there was four or five different manufacturers out there. You know, everybody had their own.
Okay. I didn't know if they... Yeah.
So there wasn't one specific brand that stood up, and in the World Games, I really couldn't tell you what they used because I've never been to one.
Yeah, I was wondering if they all just everybody had the same one, and or you bring yours and they take and seal it up so you can actually record it. I didn't know how they done.
Well,
that, so.
During the World Games, I would imagine they use official calibrated instruments that are sealed.
Yeah,
and for us, what we'll probably wind up doing is having. Either spotters or, because we only have a few GPS units here at Pine Island Airport, but you know, a lot of people would be able to do it. In the old days, they took a picture. They would have the individuals take a picture of that spot
and
they passed over it.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of ways to do it. You don't have
to
go the high-tech route. They can actually take a picture or whatever.
Now, I know the...
For training purposes.
Equipment, or the other thing I noticed that a lot of guys use the reflex wings for speed, or and I guess some of them actually just a high performance wing and stuff. I guess that plays a big part in your ability to do well as far as the close and stuff, or even like you said, the cross country stuff. So.
Well, you know, that's one thing that's very interesting, and that is one of the misconceptions that I had. It's not necessarily a reflex wing that's going to win, and the reason being is that when you're in the World Games, you have to use the same wing for all tasks.
Oh, okay.
All tasks have to have the same wing. So, for example, the endurance, where you're given 2 liters of fuel, and you have to fly the length of time. As you know, a reflex wing is going to
power
you to have a little more power, so you're going to use more fuel. So it depends on what you're going to do. What you need to do is to find a wing that you can fly effectively, whether it's a reflex wing or a conventional wing, and fly it effectively, not only in the close-in, the spot landing, the bomb drop, foot drag, the cloverleaf, and then the cross-country events, and I'm sure there's quite a few other events I didn't mention, but find a wing that you're comfortable with. Don't just immediately jump out there to a reflex wing and say, well, now I'm going to do this. The best thing really to do is master the wing you have now with these specific events. And then once you've mastered that, then talk with some knowledgeable people that have been doing these events and see what type of wings that they would recommend.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting because it's not always a reflex wing that wins.
What's your wing of choice in the competition?
Well, because I've never been to competition, I don't really have a favorite wing yet.
Yeah.
I fly a number of different wings.
Did you try several down there?
Yes, I did. I flew, mostly I flew a U-turn obsession, but I also flew Andy McGavin, had his MacPara Envy there, which is a very nice wing.
Oh, okay.
Also, the plasma wing is available there, and some other of the Dudek wings.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of wings available, and I, to be honest with you, until I do all events, I'm not going to really know what's the best. I do know that U-turn obsession was extremely efficient, and I'm pretty happy with it. Although, again, there's a number of good wings out there, and the reflex wings like the Dudex, you know, that's something that you know you may all want to look at. It really depends on the individual and the way they fly. The efficiency and the safety of the U-turn was very satisfying to me, and the MacPara Envy as well.
Oh, okay. At least you got a chance to try several of them. And looking at the Chinese Worlds, it seemed like a lot of the guys were using the reflex wings, but that makes sense. Like you said, there's more power, and I didn't know you have to use the exact same wing through the whole event. So, I guess I didn't either.
I really didn't know that either, and that was quite eye-opening to me because that was our first thing. We were saying, well, gee, if you want to, for the endurance event, you know, you break out your top 80 with your extra-large wing and go thermal around. They said, no, you cannot do that. You have to use the same motor, same wing for each event. And it's very important that... especially now, because I do not have the skills necessary to tell you what wing is the best wing. I don't. I'm honest about that. There's a number of good wings out there, and I cannot show partiality to one specific wing at this time. I can tell you what I like for my personal use, but as far as these events and these games, the competition, I don't have the skills for that. That would be a lot better answered by some of the individuals that have actually completed these competitions.
Anything else? I can't think of anything else on the competition that would be very informative to everyone. See, we went over wings, some of the competitions. Hey, dude, I tell you what. Okay, okay, 2 liters of fuel. You go up. If your motor dies, can you try to? Are you trying to thermal? Are you trying to?
Oh, you're trying to thermal the same. As soon as you get up, you're trying to thermal.
Really? Are guys turning their motors off, or is it your motor on all the time? What is the rule to that part, or the endurance?
My understanding, there is no rule as to your motor use. You take off with 2 liters of gas.
Yeah.
And then you stay up as long as you can. And when you land, obviously, you'll land within a certain box, and they actually give you an area that you have to land within, or else you either get points deducted or you're DQ'd, disqualified. It depends on how they set up that particular event.
Mm-hmm.
But you're given a certain area to land in, and quite frequently, as Michel Carnet was saying, that what he did immediately is went up and started thermaling and right away, and found a little thermal and just stayed in it as long as he could.
Wow. You know, most of us guys, when you start talking thermal, it's time to go down. It's time to come in. The day is done. Wow.
Well, that's correct. And that's another interesting thing about the World Games is, let's just say, for example, and most Americans, I agree with you, us, that, you know, we fly with motors. We don't look for thermals because we have the thrust. We can fly in the morning and the afternoon. When the thermals come out, we go eat lunch. But if for the World Air Games, if you don't do that task, then you lose those points.
Wow.
And if you want to be, to have a chance in world rankings, you have to at least get some points in all of the tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So it does open up a whole new side. So like I was telling you that, I previously was free-flying
right.
I was living in England, and obviously that's what you do when you're there. You're either ridge soaring or you're thermaling. So it is a whole new angle that many of us PPG pilots don't even think about, which is the thermaling.
During training, I mean, you're told, hey, thermals come up, you probably can fly, 10:30? I mean, I've gone up before not realizing how late it was. It was like, whoa, this is bumpy, time to come down, you know? And very uncomfortable feeling due to the fact most of the time, I'm in, good conditions as far as, in the morning and the evening and stuff like that. So it's a very different feel. I wonder if that's one of those things where to help you in the competition to have some free flight thermaling, under your belt.
I would think that, that all of those individuals that score high on that have quite a bit of experience in thermaling.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
God gave the ability to the birds, but he didn't give it to us naturally. That's something that you have to acquire, and you have to really seek a good instructor to do that.
To do, yeah.
And being here in Florida, this is not really the best spot to learn thermaling here.
Yeah.
Really, something like that, you'd want to go out to some of the finer free-flying schools that are out there.
Torrey Pines, that comes to mind.
Yeah. Torrey Pines would be an excellent place.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, daggone it. That's cool. It sounded like it was a very really, really good clinic. Were you invited, or did you just – how did that work? Because I remember them talking about it, but I didn't know if it was an invitation-only thing or actually you just kind of signed up and went.
Well, actually, it was an open invitation.
Oh, it was, okay.
He had posted on the Internet. Actually, it was interesting because when Eric was talking with me about this before it was announced, he said, Paul, if I did this, would you join? Would you sign up? And I signed up right then. I said yes.
Yeah.
So I was immediately interested in participating in this event, and it was open, in fact, right up until a few days before the event, because of the two no-shows. We knew that Chad Bastain and John Magic weren't going to show up, but there were two openings that somebody could have come in at the last minute very easily.
Yeah. Are they talking about having it next year, or is this...
I think they're going to do it again. In fact, I think that because of the response and because I think that we're going to see more and more fly-ins in the area doing these competition events,
stuff,
I think the interest will be there and get larger. It really challenges you because if you just boat around, as you say all the time, and, you know, that's great. But what we really need to be doing is go up to 500 feet and turn off your motor and then spot land on that Frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get used to making your spot landings. Do your slalom runs and your foot drags and things like that to go ahead and advance your skills.
Honings,
so that, you know, these contests, they really are within the reach of a lot of the flyers out there. They just need to understand the rules and then practice them.
Like I said, boating around, because that's what I do. I mean, in your mind, you're like, well, I'm on a spot land, or but if it's something set up, you find yourself really, really trying to hone your skills to get to the point where you're able to do those tasks really easy and stuff. So it would be cool to get more fly-ins and stuff like that to actually offer the competition. Because, like I said, over the years, I guess, you know, just listening, I've only been in it for just over a year. Guys wouldn't sign, you know, same guys, 10, 15, 20 guys, if that, would sign up for it, and that was it. So, hopefully.
Well, I think you'll see it happen more and more, especially here in the United States, because we're much more informal. And if
that's
you want to do, for example, just the spot landing at any of our fly-ins, you can. You don't have to do all of the events.
Yeah.
You can do just the tasks that interest you. Again, I think until you know, we become very, very formal with this, when I say we, meaning in the industry, not Pine Island Airport, Planet PPG, that it will remain a fun and more of a cross-country sightseeing trip.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come back, you know what? We're going to turn the motor off at 500 feet or higher, and we'll spot land. And get guys to get used to that more and more. I mean, you should be able to do that anyway to be a PPG too. But again, if you don't practice it, it's things that you lose. So I think that you'll see more and more of that because it is fun. And as you know, fun is contagious.
Absolutely. Well, cool, man. Thank you for the information on that. I'm sure there's a lot of guys wondering how that all went and what was involved in that, and hopefully they will actually offer it again next year.
Yeah, I think they will. Eric was talking about it. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Eric DeFore came down to Pine Island Airport here to do it here. He's more than welcome down here anytime. He's got a lot of skill, and I've got a lot of respect for him and his teaching abilities. I learned a lot from him. And footflyer.com, Jeff Goyne and the guys, they are going to be putting some of that information on their website as well to try to continue the interest and further the project of developing the United States powered paragliding team.
Once again, guys, go to planetppg.com. Paul's got a lot of information, on his website. Very cool. I think one of the coolest things is definitely the webcam. So that is, what'd you tell me, 6,000 people at one point was watching the webcam?
Yes, we had 6,000 at our last fly-in. We had 6,000 people watching from all around the world. And we had about 650 people watch Wayne mow the yard, mow the big field out there with his tractor. So
that's crazy.
It's kind of interesting. And especially when we moved the camera down to the pilot's hangar after hours during one of the fly-ins, we had individuals from Atlanta calling in saying, "Hey, show us more than you guys sitting around drinking beer." So it's interesting at times.
That's great. That is too cool, man.
Excellent.
And we're going to be upgrading that camera. The resolution on the camera, it's deteriorated drastically in the last 6 months. So we're going to get a better camera for the fly-in, and then we'll be moving it around as the event goes on so that people can get a really good bird's eye view. It's on a wireless IP setup so that we can really get people close to the action remotely.
All right. Okay. Great. Man,
all right.
If you had anything else you want to say to anybody, I'd like to, go right ahead. I thank you very much for your time. Shoot. Like I said, I've probably been to your website many times here lately, just looking at the videos and the pictures. And, there are some pictures already up on his website of the competition clinic that he just went through. And I think he said he was going to post some more stuff coming up soon. So.
Yep. In fact, there's a video on there that Captain Ron made. Captain Don.
Captain Don. Oh, okay.
Captain Don.
Right. Okay.
Territor.
Yes.
And he made one of the event, so I'll be posting that on there. In fact, by the time you guys listen to this, it'll be on there. Just go to the video page, and you'll be able to look for the Captain Don logo there, and click on that, and you'll see a little video that he made, which is really nice.
Well, thank you very much for your time tonight.
I greatly appreciate it. I urge everybody to seek out good instruction. If you're not happy with the instructor, go find another. Take your time. Don't go fast. Remember, it's your life, and you want to learn everything you can so that you can protect it and fly safe.
Words of wisdom. I like that. That's great, man. That's excellent. Okay. Hey, we will talk to you soon. I think you want to...
I guess we should mention, Will, too, that on Planet PPG, if they go to the fun page, they will see all of your radio shows on the fun page. Every one of your episodes is listed there. They can click on it and either play it or download it. So there is another location that they can go to. They don't have to go to your specific spot. And I thank you for letting me put your content on the planetppg.com website as well.
Shoot, I'm honored, man. The one thing I when I started doing this is like, well, you think anybody will listen? We'll see. So, no, thank you for putting them on there. Greatly appreciate it. So,
well, I'll be able to keep statistics and also be able to give you the numbers of individuals as well.
Oh, great, great. That's good. All right. Paul, thank you very much. Guys, if y'all need more information, like I said, go to planetppg.com. It's got a telephone number, great website. Great person if you're looking for information. And I thank you very much for your time tonight. And we will.
Thank you. Have fun.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go, guys. Did you learn anything? Competition, Planet PPG, Paul. Great guy to talk to. A lot of times in these interviews, I find myself sitting back like I'm listening to a podcast or a show, and I have to remind myself, no, ask questions, be engaged, talk. Paul makes it easy. If you don't forget, guys, go to his website, planetppg.com, if you have any questions about anything that we talked about. I'm sure he's more than willing to answer them for you. So thanks again for coming on, Paul, for your time. That's about all I got for you tonight. I'm gonna go over these fly-ins with you real quick again. Edgewater Beach Resorts.com. Get your reservation in as soon as you can. There, you got till April 20th, and don't forget to. And only reason April 20th to get the Beach Blast room rate. So, and don't forget the Endless Foot Drags and Britain Shaws, May 22nd through the 25th. And talk to Kurt again today, July 23rd through the 26th, for the Flight Junkies reunion. He said get your reservation in as soon as you can for him, so he'll kind of have an idea who's going to show up. Sounds like they got some really special things going on for that fly-in. So, normally at the beginning of the show, I usually have, you have my little disclaimer type thing with Fly Away, which is a Lenny Kravitz song. And actually, it's not Lenny Kravitz that's singing it. I can't even think or remember or who sings and where I got it from. My computer crashed here recently, so anyway, I kind of done something a little different. It's getting to be, you know, dreaming about summer, so I kind of went to the web, put summertime in, a song came up, and some of you may recognize this, and some of you have no idea who it is, but I was probably about 3 or 4 when this lady actually was popular. Janis Joplin put in Summertime. Her song Summertime came up, and I kind of like this song. It's meant, close your eyes, unless you're driving, close your eyes, sit back, and listen, and it's summertime. Listen to that guitar and just, wow. Thanks again. Will Jones here talking PPG Radio. Got some more things coming down the line. If you have any questions, comments, email me, drop me a line, call. Thank you. Bye now.
Summer! Looking, babe, she's looking good now. Hush, baby, 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 baby. No, 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 don't you cry. Don't you No, don't you cry.